Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would open your Bibles to the Old Testament book of Joel. The book of Joel. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, son of Pethuel. "Hear this, you elders. Listen, all you inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this ever happened in your days or in the days of your ancestors? Tell your children about it, and let your children tell their children and their children, the next generation. What the devouring locust has left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust has left, the young locust has eaten. And what the young locust has left, the destroying locust has eaten. Wake up, you drunkards, and weep. Wail, all you wine drinkers, because of the sweet wine, for it has been taken from your mouth. For a nation has invaded my land, powerful and without number. Its teeth are the teeth of a lion, and it has the fangs of a lioness. It has devastated my grapevine and splintered my fig tree. It has stripped off its bark and thrown it away. Its branches have turned white. Grieve like a young woman dressed in sackcloth, mourning for the husband of her youth. Grain and drink offerings have been cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests who are ministers of the Lord mourn. The fields are destroyed. The land grieves. Indeed, the grain is destroyed. The new wine is dried up and the fresh oil fails. Be ashamed, you farmers. Wail, you vine dressers, over the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field has perished. The grapevine is dried up and the fig tree is withered. The pomegranate, the date palm, and the apple, all the trees of the orchard have withered. Indeed, human joy has dried up. Dress in sackcloth and lament, you priests. Wail, you ministers of the altar. Come and spend the night in sackcloth, you ministers of my God, because grain and drink offerings are withheld from the house of your God. Announce a sacred fast. Proclaim an assembly. Gather the elders and all the residents of the land at the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. Woe because of that day, for the day of the Lord is near and will come as devastation from the Almighty. Hasn't the food been cut off before our eyes? Joy and gladness from the house of our God? The seeds lie shriveled in their casings. The storehouses are in ruin and the granaries are broken down because the grain has withered away. How the animals groan. The herds of cattle wander in confusion since they have no pasture. Even the flocks of sheep and goats suffer punishment. I call to you, Lord, for fire has consumed the pastures of the wilderness, and flames have devoured the trees of the orchard. Even the wild animals cry out to you, for the riverbeds are dried up, and fire has consumed the pastures of the wilderness. Blow the horn in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the residents of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord is coming. In fact, it is near, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and total darkness, like the dawn spreading over the mountains. A great and strong people appears, such as never existed in ages past and never will again in all the generations to come. A fire devours in front of them, and behind them a flame blazes. The land in front of them is like the Garden of Eden, but behind them it is like a desert wasteland. There is no escape from them. Their appearance is like that of horses, and they gallop like war horses. They bound on the tops of the mountains. The sound is like the sound of chariots, like the sound of fiery flames consuming stubble, like a mighty army deployed for war. Nations writhe in horror before them. All faces turn pale. They attack as warriors attack. They scale walls as men of war do. Each goes on his own path, and they do not change their course. They do not push each other. Each proceeds on his own path. They dodge the arrows, never stopping. They storm the city. They run on the wall. They climb into the houses. They enter through the windows like thieves. The earth quakes before them. The sky shakes. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars cease their shining. The Lord makes his voice heard in the presence of his army. His camp is very large. Those who carry out his command are powerful. Indeed, the day of the Lord is terrible and dreadful. Who can endure it? Even now, this is the Lord's declaration. Turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Tear your hearts, not just your clothes, and return to the Lord, your God. For he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in faithful love, and he relents from sending disaster. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him so you can offer grain and wine to the Lord your God. Blow the horn in Zion, announce a sacred fast, proclaim an assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the aged, gather the infants, even babies nursing at the breast. Let the groom leave his bedroom and the bride her honeymoon chamber. Let the priests, the Lord's ministers, weep before the portico and the altar. Let them say, "Have pity on your people, Lord, and do not make your inheritance a disgrace, an object of scorn among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, 'Where is their God?'" Then the Lord became jealous for his land and spared his people. The Lord answered his people, "Look, I'm about to send you grain, new wine, and fresh oil. You will be satiated with them, and I will no longer make you a disgrace among the nations. I will drive the northerner far from you and banish him to a dry and desolate land, his front ranks into the Dead Sea, and his rear guard into the Mediterranean Sea. His stench will rise. Yes, his rotten smell will rise, for he has done astonishing things. Don't be afraid, land. Rejoice and be glad, for the Lord has done astonishing things. Don't be afraid, wild animals, for the wilderness pastures have turned green. The trees bear their fruit, and the fig tree and grapevine yield their riches. Children of Zion, rejoice and be glad in the Lord your God, because he gives you the autumn rain for your vindication. He sends showers for you, both autumn and spring rain as before. The threshing floors will be full of grain, and the vats will overflow with new wine and fresh oil. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust ate, the young locust, the destroying locust, the devouring locust, my great army that I sent against you. You will have plenty to eat and be satisfied. You will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. My people will never again be put to shame. You will know that I am present in Israel and that I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people will never again be put to shame. After this, I will pour out my spirit on all humanity. Then your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will have dreams and your young men will see visions. I will even pour out my spirit on the male and female slaves in those days. I will display wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For there will be an escape for those on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, as the Lord promised among the survivors, the Lord calls. Yes, in those days and at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all the nations and take them to the valley of Jehoshaphat. I will enter into judgment with them there because of my people, my inheritance, Israel. The nations have scattered the Israelites in foreign countries and divided up my land. They cast lots for my people. They bartered a boy for a prostitute and sold a girl for wine to drink. And also, Tyre, Sidon, and all the territories of Philistia, what are you to me? Are you paying me back or trying to get even with me? I will quickly bring retribution on your heads. For you took my silver and gold and carried my finest treasures to your temples. You sold the people of Judah and Jerusalem to the Greeks to remove them far from their own territory. Look, I am about to rouse them up from the place where you sold them. I will bring retribution on your heads. I will sell your sons and daughters to the people of Judah, and they will sell them to the Sabaeans, to a distant nation, for the Lord has spoken. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for holy war. Rouse the warriors. Let all the men of war advance and attack. Beat your plows into swords and your pruning knives into spears. Let even the weakling say, I am a warrior. Come quickly, all you surrounding nations. Gather yourselves. Bring down your warriors there, Lord. Let the nations be roused to come to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit down to judge all the surrounding nations. Swing the sickle, because the harvest is ripe. Come and trample the grapes, because the winepress is full. The wine vats overflow, because the wickedness of the nations is extreme. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will grow dark, and the stars will cease their shining. The Lord will roar from Zion and make his voice heard from Jerusalem. Heaven and earth will shake, but the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the Israelites. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who dwells in Zion, my holy mountain. Jerusalem will be holy, and foreigners will never overrun it again. In that day, the mountains will drip with sweet wine, and the hills will flow with milk. All the streams of Judah will flow with water, and a spring will issue from the Lord's house, watering the valley of Achaia. Egypt will become desolate, and Edom a desert wasteland, because of the violence done to the people of Judah, in whose land they shed innocent blood. But Judah will be inhabited forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. I will pardon their blood guilt, which I have not pardoned. For the Lord dwells in Zion. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Over and over in the scriptures, you see things that have an immediate, short-term impact. Even in the sayings of Jesus, there were things that were happening right then that would happen in the near future, and there were things that would be the greater fulfillment of those things long term. That is the case with Joel as well. Because they had a problem not just with locusts, insects. By the way, extensive study has been done to try and figure out why, I want to say innocent grasshoppers turn into voracious, vicious locusts. What they've found is that if you have a locust, or if you have a grasshopper in a little cage, and you take a paintbrush and just kind of rub its back and hindquarters, it will change into a locust, meaning the personality changes and it becomes this voracious thing where previously grasshoppers kind of want to be on their own and they don't do a lot of damage. Suddenly they turn into locusts that clump together and swarm and eat everything in their path. And they discovered why. There is a change in the brain chemistry when they rub their backs like that. And so when a bunch of grasshoppers get together, they actually become cannibalistic because they are hungry for protein. But I think it's interesting because what they say is causing these creatures to swarm and move ahead is that this one is trying to eat that one. Not just the plants, they're eating each other. This one's trying to eat that one, and that one, feeling that, is trying to eat the one ahead of it. And so you have these swarms of cannibalistic devourers that are rushing across the landscape trying to stay ahead of the one that's behind them and trying to destroy the one that's in front of them. When you look at the history of military conquest, the conquering armies, the destructive devourers, ultimately they are self-destructive and they do themselves in. It's very interesting. It makes a remarkable metaphor. But you have this almost insane urge to go ahead and destroy, and they end up destroying themselves and each other. When you live in a world where that is true not just of insects, but of invading armies, how do you make sense? Where do you find hope? Joel writes, and he says to the people, you should be upset about this. This, you ought to be paying attention to what's happened. It is right to lament. It is right to be upset. But don't stop with lamenting. Move to repenting. He calls for a solemn assembly. He says people need to come together. Verse 14 of chapter 1, announce a sacred fast, proclaim an assembly, gather the elders and all the residents of the land at the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. Don't just say, woe is me. Say, God have mercy. He says, don't just tear your clothes. Tear your hearts. You should be heartbroken and return to the Lord your God. That's in chapter 2, verse 13. Tear your hearts, not just your clothes, and return to the Lord your God. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, verse 14, so you can offer grain and wine to the Lord your God. Blow the horn in Zion, announce a sacred fast, proclaim an assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the aged, gather the infants, even babies nursing at the breast. Let the groom leave his bedroom and the bride her honeymoon chamber. In other words, regardless of your age, regardless of what else you have going on in your life that seems really more important than anything else, this is more important than that. Getting right with God is more important than anything else. More than anything else. Everybody needs to gather before the Lord and seriously repent. And what does God say? Then the Lord became jealous, verse 18, for his land and spared his people. The Lord answered his people, look, I'm about to send you grain, new wine, and fresh oil. You're going to have plenty. I'll no longer make you a disgrace. I'll drive the northerner far from you and banish him to a dry and desolate land. His stench will rise. Yes, his rotten smell will rise, for he's done astonishing things. Don't be afraid, land. Rejoice and be glad. Don't be afraid, wild animals. Children of Zion, verse 23 of chapter 2, rejoice and be glad in the Lord your God, because he gives you the autumn rain for your vindication. He sends showers for you, both autumn and spring rain as before. The threshing floors will be full of grain, and the vats will overflow with new wine and fresh oil. God is saying to a group of people who look around and see devastation. I mean, it's just horrible. Everything's been burned up. Even the wild animals, it's not just the farmland that's been devastated. Even animals in the wild are suffering. And God says, you know what? This isn't the way it's going to stay. It's going to get better. If your security is in anything other than the Lord, your security is in the wrong place. If you think, well, I've got this much saved up, I've got this much set aside, I've got this means of supporting myself, and if that falls apart, I can always turn to this. God can take it all away in an instant. But if you're sitting there saying, I've lost everything, I've got nothing, it doesn't have to end like that. Turn to the Lord. Trust in Him. He is able to make things beautiful for you. Really beautiful. Trust in the Lord. God says, I will repay you for the years that the swarming locusts ate. You'll have plenty to eat and be satisfied. You will praise the name of the Lord your God who's dealt wondrously with you. My people will never again be put to shame. You'll know that I am present in Israel, that I am the Lord your God. There is no other. My people will never again be put to shame. And then he begins to describe something that the Apostle Peter was inspired by the Holy Spirit to apply to what happened on the day of Pentecost. He said, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. It's in Acts chapter 2. What was he talking about? He was talking about what happened when Jesus sent his Holy Spirit to empower the church to be the people of God in this world. I think, tragically, most Christians fail to appreciate the amazing thing that God has done by sending his Holy Spirit. We tend to put a wonderful emphasis on the fact that Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins, as well we should. We also talk a good bit about how wonderful it is that Jesus didn't just die on the cross to pay for our sins, but he rose from the dead. The gospel includes his death, burial, and resurrection as is written in the scriptures. But folks, it doesn't stop there. The purpose of his doing that was so that we might be reconciled to God. Not just forgiven, but brought into a relationship with God himself, whereby God lives his life through us. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you, if you are a Christian. And we need to take that to heart and realize that this promise that God made way back under the old covenant about what would come changes everything for those who believe. After this, I'll pour out my Spirit on all humanity. Then your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will have dreams. Your young men will see visions. I'll even pour out my Spirit on the male and female slaves in those days. And then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, if you've never turned to the Lord in repentance, if you're still trying to hold on to your sin, and if your hope is somewhere else, repent. Trust in Jesus. He will fulfill his promises. Do not be afraid. Trust in God, for he is able to restore what the locusts have eaten.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.